Welcome to the Homeschool Show from North Carolinians for Home Education. Our goal is to help you homeschool with confidence and joy. I'm your host, Matthew McDill, and we have once again as our co-host, John Lewis.
Woo!
Good to see you.
101. Episode
That's 101.
That's a record for us.
Just like last week.
Last week was a record show.
That's right.
Speaking of records, I don't. A lot of people don't know this, but I have a police record.
Okay.
I love their greatest hits.
That's right. I do too. I was wondering what your crimes were, but
somebody out there is going, "What's a record?"
Yeah. Or who is the police?
Who are the police?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's good to see you guys again. Well, it's good for you to see us. Homeschool news is one of our segments today. We're going to talk about some field trip opportunities that are coming up. We're also going to have homeschool conversations. We're going to meet the new Region 4 liaison, and they're going to give some encouragement for those who are considering homeschooling. Mm-hmm. Matthew's going to bring wisdom from the Word. He's going to talk about how to reduce stress and increase productivity. I probably need that. So,
right.
And then we're going to listen to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. Amanda's going to continue her series on common misinformation about homeschooling. And again, this one's going to be about testing.
Yep.
What are the actual requirements? This is all important stuff and stuff that honestly, I think a lot of parents are kind of scared about when they get into homeschooling.
They want to know what the truth is. That's
right. So it's good.
All right. For homeschool news, we have these two new field trips to tell you about. One is at the Cabane Children's Museum. This is in High Point on October 19th. Named North Carolina's Visitor Attraction of the Year by the NC Tourism Industry. come explore two floors of exciting hands-on exhibits at Outdoor Adventure Zone, the Hall of Mysteries, the Double-Decker Carousel, and much more. So they got a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Exhibits are aimed at fifth grade and younger, but middle schoolers enjoy them as well. You can go to nchg.com, look under the Activities tab to find out more. Also, we'll put the link in the show notes.
Okay, and we also have the Nutcracker Ballet coming up in Charlotte on December 15th. You can join NCHE at the Charlotte Ballet's performance of the Nutcracker, and the seats are limited, though, so you need to get your tickets purchased by October 4th. I think there's a discount until then, and then after that, I don't know what they'll be, but the tickets will go fast. We did that last year. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
This is a big one. We've done it several years now, and the tickets sell out fast.
Yeah, it's really cool. For homeschool conversations today, we're going to take a look at a conversation that Matthew had with Vicki and Frank Bramer at the NCHE Board and Liaison Retreat back in August. Vicki is NCHE's new Region 4 liaison, and so they're going to share some encouragement for those who are considering homeschooling. So let's take a look at that.
Yeah. All right, we are still at the NCHE Board and Liaison Retreat, and I've already introduced to you the new Region 7 liaisons, Rick and Denise Madel, and now I would like to also introduce to you Vicki and Frank. Tell us your region and a little bit about yourself.
Region 4, we've been homeschooling 13 years, starting our 14th year. And and Frank, my husband, who supports my homeschooling habit, we joke. We have two children, Hannah and Michael. And Hannah is starting her master's this fall at UNC Charlotte. And Michael is still at home homeschooling and starting a couple of classes at our local community college.
Okay, great. And we talked a little bit about you have somewhat of a drastic homeschool decision. Story, right?
Yes, we do.
Give us just a little bit of that flavor of that. How did that happen?
Well, I am the most unlikely homeschool mom. I was a public school teacher. I also taught at the community college where both of my kids have gone, and I taught at a local private school where we actually thought our kids would go. Our daughter, after kindergarten, wanted to homeschool, and so we reluctantly tried it, and we thought it would just be temporary until both kids were old enough to go to school, and here we are this many years later, just about to finish our homeschool journey. So,
okay. So what if we had some parents who are on the fence? Let's say they may be in private school, maybe they're public school, and kind of like you, are reluctant. What encouragement would you have for them?
I would say the number one thing is nobody loves your kid more than you do.
Okay.
If we ever think for a minute that a school or a program or somebody else has our kid's best interest at heart more than we do, it just isn't true. And so because of that, we're going to find what works for our kids. We're going to figure it out, you know, and it may be that, you know, we have another mom come alongside and help us with chemistry sometimes, but it, you know, you can do it. And again, nobody loves your kid more than you do, and you'll figure out the things that you think you don't know. So I've learned more. It's kind of, I've redeemed my own education in a lot of ways. So through homeschooling.
Oh, that's right. I can't tell you how many great books I've read and experience I've had from homeschooling that I never had it even in my own education.
You know? Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The one thing, you know, it's not permanent, right? You can try it for a season, a year, you know, or just a few weeks. It's not a permanent commitment. But if it works for you, then go with it.
I think that's a great encouragement, because people who are hesitant feel like, well, I can't make a big long commitment. And most people slide into homeschooling by trying it out. So that's great.
I think a lot of parents worry or have a concern that they won't be able to get back into school. If they pull their kids out of school,
good point.
Will the school take them back? Is homeschooling accredited? They have all these questions. And in the 13 plus years I've been homeschooling, I've never had a kid who wanted to go back to school, not be able to go to school. I've never had a kid who wanted to go to high school after homeschooling until eighth grade, not be able to get into high school. And any kids who've wanted to go to college have, all of our students that I've known have been able to go to college. So if that's what they chose. So I think a lot of times, for whatever reason, there's a misconception out there that if I homeschool, then I can't get back into
whatever. You're stuck out. Yeah. So in your experience, are there any particular struggles or questions that seem to pop up the most from homeschoolers?
Yeah, I mean, definitely that is one, being able to get back in.
Okay.
And then I think sometimes families, so like the mom and maybe even the mom and dad both are on board with homeschooling, that they're worried about what their parents will think or their neighbors will think or their sisters or brothers, you know, or friends. And a lot of times they don't have that external support of being able to homeschool. And so, you know, when you've already kind of gone against the grain a little bit, and then you don't have the support from family, I think that is tough. So sometimes just pointing them, you know, to places like NCHE, you know, and letting them see all of the things that are out there for homeschoolers, including the socialization piece. I know that's one.
Right.
And, you know, whenever people are like, are you ever worried about socialization? I'm like, yes, I am, because sometimes we're so socialized, it's hard to get our math and science done.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Plenty of it, isn't there?
Well, one though, that you mentioned, one of the concerns is there's homeschooling has a lot of different flavors, just like any other school system, right? But like our own daughter, I mean, graduated from college summa cum laude. You know, actually, she had 1B in her entire college thing at 19, and you know, had a really good offer from. She actually is going to work for Deloitte, but she's going to graduate school first with a scholarship. And how often do you get scholarships to graduate school? Her homeschool system had everything to do with who she is as a student, but probably at the end result is who she was going to be as an adult, probably not that much different. I mean, who she is, her character of person is probably, was probably, you know, influenced heavily by it, but where she's going to be professionally, not so much. But she has a much better character.
And so parents often are worried about, is my kid going to be able to get into college? Is my student going to be able to excel in that context? And at least we have one example. Yes, for sure. They're going to do great.
Well, there's lots of examples. I mean,
yes, there are.
Actually, I think, I don't remember, it was one of the Ivy League colleges that said they actually have, like, they identify homeschool students.
Yeah,
they,
that's right.
They pursue them.
I've run into so many colleges now who have a designated homeschool person in their outreach, you know, looking for those students. Well, before we wrap it up, what about folks who are homeschooling now? Do you have any particular favorite pieces of advice that come up a lot?
Yes. So one, don't worry about curriculum, don't worry about the schedule, you know, just keep plugging along and love your kids. Relationship is more important than reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Okay.
Although those are important, you know, we still have to, you know, we still have to do our school, but when we have a relationship with our kids, then that really supersedes everything else, and it allows the academics to come. You know, we talk about Hannah a lot because she's our driven go-getter. We also have a 17-year-old who doesn't love school, and, you know, but we have a relationship with him, and so we can, you know, sit and talk. He loves talking about the universe, and so we'll do a little bit of that, and then we'll sneak a little math in. So
that's great. Good. Well, we sure appreciate you guys being on the NCHE team now.
Yeah.
And we look forward to getting folks from Region 4 connected with you. So you can go to nchu.com and look at the community tab where you can look at the map. You can find out clicking on your county, which region you're in. And so if you're in Region 4, you can click that and you can get the contact information for Vicki. And so make sure also while you're there to look at all of the groups that are in your area so that you can get connected with those as well.
All right. Well, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was there seemed to be really nice people. That's the new Region 4 liaison for you guys. So Region 4 is Charlotte area.
Yeah, right? And surrounding counties. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Next, we're going to take a look at Matthew's Wisdom from the Word segment. He's going to talk to us about how to reduce stress and increase productivity. So take a look.
Let's do it. All right, it's time for some wisdom from the Word. And I want to ask you a question. When people say to you, "How are you doing?" What is the most common answer that you give? Or when you ask others, what is the most common answer that they give? Well, besides fine, I would say that the number one answer that people give is busy. And I can relate to that because unfortunately, I've given that answer quite a bit, busy. And unfortunately, it's not busy like busy. Like, yes, it's busy. It's, oh, I'm so busy. It's overwhelmed. And if you feel that way, then I can relate because I feel overwhelmed. I feel like there's so much going on. I'm barely keeping my nose above the water. I'm barely keeping up with everything. And I hate feeling that way. And so what I want to talk about right now is the importance of reducing the stress, becoming more productive in the sense of here we are in our homes trying to educate our children, trying to raise them, and we can't just live a crazy life, you know? And sometimes we feel like we're doing that. It reminds me of a very important verse, one of my favorites in Ephesians 5, verse 15, that says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. For the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." There's so much packed into this. But one of the things that we want to do is be very careful how we live. So I think one of the most important things right off the bat is to stop in the midst of the chaos, even if you can't solve the bigger problems, which is another conversation. How do I plan? How do I create the order? And stop the overall process of being overwhelmed. But in one moment, you can do this. Today, you can do this. You can stop and say, what is the most important thing for me to do right now? And as Paul said, do not be foolish, but understand what's the will of the Lord. So you're asking, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? From a kingdom perspective, from a relational perspective, from a biblical perspective, what's the most important thing I can do right now? And you choose to do that. And then the second thing is to be all there. You know, one of the things that I do is I'm so distracted. I'm doing one thing and I'm thinking about doing another thing or feel like I should be doing another thing. And that is such a dissonant feeling that is unsettling. So the other thing I want to do is once I've decided this is the best thing to do, then I want to be all there. This is what I'm doing. This is where my mind is and my heart is. This is especially important for our kids, isn't it? Because they know when we're kind of partly there, we're kind of listening, but we're really looking or thinking, doing, looking at something else or thinking about something else. That's not what we want to communicate to them. So think about, what's the most important thing I can do? What's God want me to do? And then be fully there. And finally, we're gonna have to learn how to say no and how to fight for the focus on that thing and not be distracted by this or by that. And of course, we know some of those distractions are good in the sense of opportunities. But for the most part, we really need to learn how to say no. We need to learn how to stick to our commitment to say, this is the most important thing. This is what I'm doing right now. And even if we do that more often every day, it's going to change the way that we're feeling and processing and living life. And our kids are going to affect it too. And of course, solving the bigger picture is stepping back when you have time to plan and say, what are the most important things to do? Because I want to make the best use of my time for God's will, because the days are evil. There's a lot at stake, and we don't have time to waste. And you're planning ahead. So anyway, I love this verse, and I hope that it can help us find a center and a focus and a peace so that we're not as stressed, because we know what we are supposed to be doing, and we're more productive because we've decided and we're all there. All right, finally, we have Homeschool Helps with Amanda, and of course, she's going to continue this series on misinformation because there is a lot of it out there. And so today, she's going to continue to talk about testing, which is one of those hot topics with a lot of questions. And so what is really required for testing? Amanda's going to let us know.
Welcome to Homeschool Helps with Amanda. I'm Amanda Wares, Homeschool Helps Director with NCHE. So today we're going to continue our series on misinformation, and we are continuing on with misinformation about testing, the annual testing requirement for all registered homeschools in North Carolina. So first off, let me reiterate who must be tested. I touched on that last week, but I'm gonna be really clear about it. So if you have followed the law and followed our advice and not opened your homeschool until your child turned 7, then you have a year after that to test that student. Then any younger students that come along, you may be so excited. You're like, oh, I want to add my 5-year-old, my 6-year-old to my homeschool, which is great that you're so excited. But if you add them officially to your homeschool, then they must also be tested. So think about that when you're wanting to add them officially to your homeschool. Now, can you do school, do some learning activities with that 5-year-old, with that 6-year-old? Absolutely, of course you can. But it's unnecessary. And in this case, when we're talking about testing, probably just not optimal, not the best to add them early, okay? Because we don't want to have to start that clock on when they must be tested. Next, what is actually required in regards to testing? The law says, like I said last week, you have to administer a nationally normed standardized test once per calendar year. Is there anything in the law about a certain grade level that a student must be tested at? No, there is not. So, for example, if you have a student like I did, who may be 9, 10, and perhaps has some kind of special need, learning difficulty. It was dyslexia in our case, and my 9-year-old was not reading well. He was not reading independently yet. So I did not test him with the 4th grade test because I knew that that level of reading required by that test would just frustrate him. So we did a first grade test a couple of years in a row, because the first grade test is designed to, for almost all of it, to be read to the student. So we did that until he was reading independently, and then we jumped up to a different level. What's my point? You can choose. You have the freedom. There's nothing in the law that says a certain grade level must be used. Also, is there anything in the law that says your student must get a certain score or a certain level, a certain benchmark on that standardized test? No, absolutely not. The law says we have to give a test. Period, the end. Okay? That is a huge source of anxiety and fear and struggle that a lot of families go through in relation to this testing. And I am hoping that this just relieves your anxiety, relieves your stress in relation to this testing requirement in our homeschool law. You have to give a test, nationally normed, standardized achievement test. You do not have to give a certain grade level, and there is no certain benchmark or percentage or level that they have to score on said test. That's what you need to know. So tune in next week for one more set of misinformation related to testing. I hope you have a great day, and I really hope this helps.
Well, once again, thanks for joining us this week. We really look forward to hearing from you guys. So if you would, send your questions and your feedback to the homeschool show at nche.com, and help other people find the podcast by subscribing and rating, leaving reviews on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, anywhere you find the podcast. And if you think the show will be helpful for your friends and your family, please pass it on, share the news. And to learn how to subscribe to the show, you can go to nche.com/thehomeschoolshow.
All right, until next week, continue to homeschool with confidence and joy.